open the mics now. Are we ready? We are ready?
Oh, fantastic.
I'm not ready.
Well, hello and welcome to this keynote. We would start first and foremost to thank all the local editors from around the world who picked some extraordinary good stores. So I think we should all start by giving a big applause to all the editors. Thank you so much. We had a record high of 32 stores from around the world. And this competition, it spans from Peru, who was new to us this year, to Ukraine, and we had from Germany to New Zealand. And I think, with respect, we should just take a quick look at some of the beautiful stores we had here from Argentina, from Austria, from Australia, China, Belgium, Brazil, Canada, Colombia, the Czech Republic, France, Germany, India, Ireland, Italy, Japan, Kazakhstan, the Netherlands, Mexico, Poland, Portugal, Spain, United Kingdom, Switzerland, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Middle East, New Zealand, Peru, Uruguay, two stores from USA and Ukraine. It was an amazing set list we had. And congratulations also to all the stores who came here to Chicago. It was very, very tough being a judge this year. We get a question from time to time, because how is it possible to judge 200 plus 100-year-old store and then a flagship mega store like Liverpool? But it is possible to do it. And one of the reasons why we really like this competition and see this as the beacon in the industry is that it is not a beauty contest. The Global Innovation Award is not a beauty contest. It's about rethinking, reinventing, exploring, playing around with new things. So this is what the competition is really all about. It's how you're being innovative, how you're daring to dream big, and reinventing your business, embracing and play around with new technologies. And innovation is not about money. It's not about having the most money. That will not give you the prize. And that's what we've seen this year with so many great examples of you exploring and playing around with new things and new ways to do it. And we're going to start with this statement, and Scott is going to end with it as well. What we've seen is also, so we feel very sure that retail is not dead, but mediocre retail is dead. There are so many other options that there needs to be reason to stop by, and you provided so many good examples of that. So it's important to state again and again that customers has not canceled retail, people shop, and the good news is that the store is still king. We have the check here. So one of the good things is to talk about is what does good look like? So what do you need to make a good store? And it's actually pretty simple to do it. You just need, it needs to be easy. It needs to be fun. You need to be kind, and it needs to be interesting. If you do that, you have a great store, and we could actually end the keynote here. So if you do those things, you got it all made. But we could dwell a little bit about what easy is. Easy. It needs to be easy to find you. And if it's Saturday morning outside the local city and the toaster is on fire, people Google. And again, we cannot stress this hard enough. You need to pay attention and care about your Google presence. If you don't, and this is one of the stores who were joining us this year, this was what happened when I clicked on their store. And it looks much prettier in the portfolio we received. I don't have hidden which store it is. Another store who didn't pay attention to or owning their Google profile, then when I was browsing, and we spent a lot of time on your stores, but so there was filled with videos showing broken products in the store. We had another store last year because they didn't pay attention to it, black facing in the store, the photo was not submitted by the store, but by customers. So you want to be sure that you go to your Google profile and you click on own this business, so you ensure that all the photos that are submitted to this address is verified by you. And if you want to do even better, you make sure you have Google Street View, and you do that inside the store. If you do it, you double the chance of a visit. And we saw some good examples of this. Here we are from Belgium. It's easy to see the opening hours. And if you want to see if it is it worth going down visiting the store, you can go directly in and browse around. And Google Street View also works in multiple floors. So it's easy to navigate around and see it. We saw some very good examples here. We are from Kustermann in Germany. And here you could also take a quick tour around the store and excel from the more static virtual tour. They did this. They had all this so you could walk around, but then you could also fly by. Let's see if we can get it to work. Voila, you just saw 70,000 products being displayed. I think this just shows that the store is still king. It makes sense to stop by. This is something online shopping cannot provide. So we saw so many good examples like this this year, and thank you so much for that. Also, make sure you pay attention to the critics. We found some examples where it was left unanswered, and it's especially important that you also care about the critical questions that are raised. It needs to be easy to buy. We saw some example. This is from Taiwan the other year with having flexible point of sale situation so you are able to open it. We saw it in Prague where you could start a purchase one place and finish it at the counter or complete it on the iPad no matter where you are in the store. Make it flexible and easy for people to end up paying. Then have fun. Play fun. This is also something that's really tough for the online business to provide, but you can live. And we saw some good examples where you can just feel that this is a store you want to visit. United Kingdom, the same. We saw from Argentina, when you look at the Facebook and the activities they do there, this is a store you want to visit. You want to spend time in this one. So make sure you do this. In Prague, they had Crystal Music Concert. And so play around if you can. This is a very good example. You play around with the products you are offering and at the same time providing events. Last year, we had from Colombia with DJs. You want to be kind, and this was something that was significant this year from the stores. We had a work-life balance that we could see throughout the world, and I think from Australia, they nailed it in writing this to us, saying that the opening hours of their showroom was reflecting their desire to offer a healthy work-life balance for their staff. And what's important here is that they can do this because they have an online store. There's 24/7 option to purchase products from them. But if you want to stop by, they want to ensure that you have qualified and motivated staff in the store. So, and this was new, we could see this year there was a trend around the world that you really take pride and care and know that one of the biggest assets you have is your staff. Because you can do everything right in marketing, fixture, lightning, scent, but if the light is off in the eyes of the employees, you lost everything and people won't come back. But the way we think, and we've seen so many great ways of taking care and ensuring that you are there for your employees. We saw from Ireland, very good example, they give them product samples home and they work and spoil your employees as much as possible. This one was the American store from last year, also be the reason why people believe in good people. And she did so many good things during the pandemic. She opened her store so everybody who worked at home in her city could sit and work from this store. This is also one of my favorites. I always bring it. It was a wonderful girl from New Zealand. She had this small sign on the door saying, call me if it's critical and I'll open it for you. Nobody ever abused it, but being kind, do stuff like that. And then please think about the people who are shopping with your target customer. Have a corner with coffee or a glass of wine and good music. Have a kids' corner so you make sure that the kid is saying, could we please stay here longer? Mom, do we have to go? And you want to do that with the people who are with them. Also make sure that when the blood sugar drops, people don't leave the store. We saw some good examples also this year with offering champagne. I think it was New Zealand had a champagne bar. Prague does the same. And then finally, make it interesting. Make sure that there are so many activities and good reasons to stop by and create those viral loops that will enhance the flow of people coming to your store. All those activities are just so well spent, and use it to flag that you have high quality products, because the sustainability also lies in knowing that with a KitchenAid you have to care about the color because the product will last for 30 years. And the same with the Bamix. So make sure you do that and inspire by the fixture and the lightning of the products, because this is something that online business cannot compete with those. And then think about how do I put my store into play? How do I use the square meters multiple times? And we saw some good examples. The German store, they have over 700 events a year. And not all of them are related to the products they are offering. We also saw a great example from a small American store a couple of years ago where they had most of their activities were theater, a book, author editions and sessions. So, but it, what it made was that people stopped by and got used to visiting their store, also saw what other products do they have in the store and then came back to shop. We saw it in Spain with fashion show. It was not related to the products they were selling in the home and houseware industry. Finally, then play around with new technology and service before it's critical to your business, and I'm going to give you a few examples. Because it's not, and this is where innovation is not about money, because you might think, oh, I'm just a single store retailer. I can't do virtual reality, Henrik. Wrong. Here we had a Polish store who did it a few years back. They made a perfect online shop, and then they had a virtual edition of the physical store where you could click on all the products and go directly to the online shop. And now the future has arrived. At that point, it wasn't critical. It wasn't, but they have played for this for years, and now the future has arrived. And you can actually experience it in Chicago. I would recommend all of you to go down to the Apple Store, sign up for a 30-minute deep dive into the Vision Pro, because it will change things. Now it's going to be tangible, easy to use, and you will experience augmented reality and mixed and virtual realities now. And it's so easy and intuitive. Yeah, and the reason why it will work is because Apple has the App Store. So now all the apps that you know from your iPhone and your iPad will be available in an intuitive, augmented, or virtual reality universe. So play around with it. And we saw a cool thing. We have Peter sitting down there, a friend of mine. He wears glasses. It's no problem. You just deliver the glasses. They're put into a machine that looks like an espresso machine. And all his prescriptions are then added to the Vision Pro automatically. It's pretty cool. Play around with it because it's going to be part of your retail space. Within the near future, I will go with Peter from Germany and visit an American store, and our avatars will shop around, having an educated employee guiding us with the products in this universe. So you want to start playing. And you can become an angle biter because technology is not expensive anymore. You just need to be creative and play with it. And Apple Vision Pro will be that game changer. Finally, I want to show you interactive wines. And this is also, I think, an extremely good idea. The technology is not new. But what they're doing is that they're using the product as a storyteller. So the following video is from my hotel room in Chicago. Okay, that sounds interesting. So here's the product. What they're offering, in this case, they don't really care what's in the bottle. They don't talk about which grape it is, but it's all the story on the product.
Easter Monday, 1876. We made break for the ship Catalpa. We nearly sunk getting to her. But after 2 days, hands bloody from rowing, we boarded the Catalpa and escaped.
Now, for safety reason, we emptied the bottles, but we had an accident. So this Martha should have a partner in crime. And for you who know Martha Stewart, it seems fitting here in the Home and Houseware show. If you place Martha and Snoop Dogg next to each other, they will start talking with each other. Let's see that.
Martha, you got a corkscrew for my Cali Red? I can't find mine anywhere.
Sure thing, Snoop. You actually left it at my house after our last book club meeting.
Cali Red tasted so good. All I can say is chutch.
I love my shard too, Snoop. But I don't think we should...
So check it out. I Googled again. That's why I read the article. Google found out who's selling it, what's their opening hours, went down, bought the bottles, and half an hour later I was sitting playing with this. You don't need to download an app or anything. It's intuitive. And here, it's not related to a product that has any value, actually. But I was thinking, okay, you can use this for storytelling. What, and this is a picture from my old store in Denmark. I won the award in 2007, and we were number one in the world on selling Royal Copenhagen, the blue fluted. And this is their best hand painter. It's a 4-year education to be allowed to do it, and it has 1,400 drawers on the plate. The price tag is $140. You can also eat dinner out of a $1 plate, so why pay $140? Now, this is where that technology you just saw could come into play. You could legitimize the price. So when Snoop Dogg, if you only had one bottle, then he would stand and just talk about the bottle. So imagine that we were talking about blue fluted.
Sometimes you gotta take some time to yourself and chill.
So that could have been the hand painter standing on the plate. So think about how you could utilize and start playing it. So be easy, fun, kind, and interesting, and you'll have an amazing store. Thank you, Wolfgang, you're up.
Thank you, Henrik. He did it very well. He showed you what is the future. I have to go back to the basics, and I have to show what we can do directly in our stores. Have anybody been in the Apple Store already? No? Yes? You? You tried it on?
No, I didn't try it on.
No? Yeah, you have to make an appointment. So for everybody who wants to do it today, it's very open. It's not so much crowded. last 2 days, it was a little bit crowded. So how can I do it?
Yeah.
Just press. Ah, here. Yeah. Okay. The next step, or what I'm doing, is innovate, elevate, and captivate. That means. You have to do as a normal store, you have to be innovative, not only in technique, also in your thinking. And to elevate, to bring the product higher, to lift it up. And then it gets emotional, and after this, you can captivate the people and bring them to the store again and again and again. This is what you have to do. Otherwise, you will lose them to the online or to the price issue. And I think of you, I wrote this, I think of you even when you don't think of me. This is what you have to do with a client. The client is not thinking to you, they think for themselves. But you as a seller, you have to think for the client. You have to think in advance. What does he need? What problems does he have? And if you solve the problems, you're the problem solver. And it has nothing to do with only functional things. You have to make it emotional. It's not only design, it is what can they make better for their social life. So it's not only technique, it's sometimes nice words. If you have nice words, this is for the soul. Yeah. If you say love, everybody has another brain script in his head. If you say fun or be happy, that's always a story behind. And this opens the mind and gives the combination in the function and in the product. And this melts together. And also, if you see here color codes for orientation, if you bring less items to a shelf, of course you have to sell a lot sometimes. but to give the eye a focus, to be a little bit more concentrated, and give the decoration the opportunity to be effective, then it's much better, because the people don't have this pain to choose something, and they are focused on one thing, and that's good. Also, if you want to be a landmark, make it a little bit crazy. You can make it plain, or you can make it easy. Hendrik said, do it easy, make it with fun. In Brazil, okay, the light is great, the sun is always there, and so the color code is very important. But if you do it with your country, in your situation, and the people come to you and say, hey, we will meet on this place where the red houses or the greenhouses or the funny thing here, then you are a very rich person, because the people not only see your products, they see you as a landmark. And also, innovation and lifting up is not only a thing of technique and very complicated. Your passion and your knowledge about the product, how to lift it up and how to make it better, how to combine all these things, here it's not very complicated, but it is a charm. It gives atmosphere. It gives something. Yeah, you take care about the people. You make a problem. You solve a problem. And if you combine maybe roses with this glasses, you're also a recycling guy, by the way. Also plants. Plants are very important. Yeah, it gives atmosphere. It is green. It is fresh. If it is natural or artificial, the brain cannot separate it. It is always a thing. You see the green thing, and then it opens your heart. It opens your mind, and it gives you a little bit another brain script. Here's also some examples how you can combine different things. It's always an image transfer. Also here, if you have the mass product, or if you have something, decorate it a little bit different. Make it unusual, a little bit unique. And then you open also, you get the interest of these guys who are outside. And now I want to show you two stores which are really outstanding this year. It was the Czech Republic. Stan is here. Congratulations, by the way. It is really an outstanding store. But he is a show me your store, and I can tell you who you are. And it's a little bit like that. This is a design object. This is a showroom. It has nothing to do with a mass selling products. And when we were talking to each other, he said to me, it was very important for me to have something outstanding, something designed, something totally different, yeah? And not only selling pans and some other equipment. It has to be a showroom, it has to be innovative, and you have seen the pictures before, the people queued up because it was really unique. And he is not concentrating on the product, he's concentrating on design. And this is a totally different thing, another brain script. And the other thing is this historical building from France. Is he here, by the way? No, I haven't seen him. Okay, the editor is here. No, this is really an outstanding store because it's a museum. Yeah? They have a long history, and they sell unique products, which you don't find anywhere else. And yesterday, when he was on the stage, he was saying also that he's selling products you don't find anywhere else. It's old historical things. So he has a unique selling position. But as Hendrik said, and I don't want to, I only want to add it, service and teaching. That's a very important thing, to integrate the people, to give them an experience, a lesson, and to show them what to do with a product. And this is very, and if you add it with decoration, then you have the opportunity to sell underneath, yeah, not directly, indirectly. Or you make a really big store out of it, like here, the Netherlands. They did a barbecue store, a 360 experience. They have not only inside, they did it also outside. The people are combined with learning. It is not only one barbecue, it's a whole area where all the barbecue is. So it's a really event, a really big event. I want to add also this one, because this is a Liverpool, maybe Mexicans are here? No. Anyway, they have a really good store, and if you have a facade like this, you are a landmark in any way, so you don't need to do anything. So this is more deluxe. I want to show you, is this possible with this animation?
2 seconds.
This was very, very exciting when I saw this.
Yes!
And you see, she was happy. She did it. She learned how to make the knives sharp, and then she tried to make it. Yeah. And this gives her a very big feeling. And you see how she is celebrating. And this is an experience you cannot remove anymore. Yeah. She will be always combined to this store. And if you have afterwards a good celebration with a good meal and with a table and all these things, and you have a good friends here and you celebrate your success, you go back with this car. I'm not sure if this car is for them, but I like this car. So thank you. Never stop learning, because life never stops teaching you. So have a good time.
All right. Thank you very much, Henrik and Wolfgang. Some great information today. We're very excited that you're here. You've come here many, many years, and the show and the retailers here, it really gives you a sense of energy that, as Henrik said, the store is king. There is no doubt about that. What I like to do every year is talk about the doomsayers first, because every year you've got the doomsayers that come out, okay, it's the end of retail and so forth. Sure enough, in the Financial Times, it's the record number of stores. We've got stores going bankrupt. You got Macy's closing 150 stores. You've got Godiva closing all of their in mall stores. You've got Foot Locker closing 400 stores. So what's going on? Naturally, the malls are also closing. So naturally, everyone said everyone's buying online. It's Amazon. It's online sales is going to dominate, and it's going to overtake all the stores, but it's still today. It's still, let's see. Could be. Oh, I think it's okay. It goes in and out. It's still today. Okay, should I go like that? Hello? Is still such a small percentage of the overall retail. And so you've got to keep it in perspective that the store is king. What we do here in retail is so important and has so many opportunities. In reality, if you look at Amazon, yes, we all buy online, right? I don't think there's anyone that doesn't. But how many of us, through a show of hands, have ever bought something that wasn't quite what you originally thought? Just raise your hand. If you look in the store, it's in the audience, it's virtually all of us that have come and bought something that wasn't quite what we were thinking of. And in terms of retail, retail is not dead. If you wanted this, it's a great example here where you wanted this beautiful summer dress, but what comes is something totally different. Or how about this beautiful tapestry? Boy, this would look good in my bedroom, but what comes is something of a different size. Right? We've all had experiences of that. In fact,
in this last 10 years, it's the first time that online sales is still growing, but the speed of growth has started to slow down. So what does that tell us? It tells us that people are going back to the store. That's what it is. Last night, as we honored the best in retail for the Global Innovator Awards, it was a great celebration of the best of stores. And as Henrik mentioned, the stores, we've got, this year we had stores from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, that were a winner, hello, yes, all the way to Brazil, to Ireland, Japan. I mean, it was such a great collection of stores, and it really shows that retail is not dead, but mediocre retail is dead. You know, and how do you really energize your store, right? And the one thing you've got to take a look at is the customer. You've got to pay attention to the customer because the customers have changed. You know, it wasn't so long ago that the customers would come in dressed up to go into your store. I mean, look at this gentleman buying some shoes. He's dressed in a suit and tie and a hat. His wife has a beautiful dress and a coat and high heels. And yet today, the customers have changed. This is at Walmart, by the way. If you look at today, the millennials versus the Gen Zers, you know, the millennials were the skinny jeans generation. They're making fun of the Gen Zers that are the baggy jeans, right? So you've got to take a look at this and really understand that for the first time, Gen Z is returning to the mall. It's a great news for all of us. And it says right here in the ICE International Council of Shopping Center report, that while Gen Z is often viewed as a generation that grew up online, nearly all respondents, 97%, shop at brick-and-mortar stores, driven by the immediacy with which they can walk away with a product, as well as the ability to see, touch, and try products before buying, the report's author said. Wow, that sounds like good old-fashioned retail, right? So the Gen Zs are coming back to the stores in a big way. They are, of course, they're using technology, but they want the immediate store to touch, smell, feel the merchandise. It's a great opportunity for us. It's all about customer engagement. How can we as retailers really engage the customers in a big way? First of all, it's obviously touch. In the housewares business, it's the best opportunity to encourage our customers to touch the merchandise. We talked about your Prague store, beautiful. The commitment to this is a 15-meter table, which we used to call a drive aisle in retail. It's like a drive table. So that's 50 linear feet, okay, that these guys have dedicated. Totally brass, beautiful sculpture. But although it's a beautiful display and you can't help but touch the merchandise and really see it, all of us have the opportunity to commit something special in our stores so that customers can touch the merchandise. Whether it's great visual presentation, great color stories, great interesting information that people have to just touch the merchandise to see what it is, to smell. How can the customers really engage with your store? Smell, the touch, the visual merchandise. Some beautiful merchandise ideas here this year where you can't help but just take a look at the it's almost like an art piece, the way they have arranged this. A peephole here to engage the customer. So there's unlimited opportunities to really engage with the customer. Signage. How are you talking to the customer? What kind of conversations are you having with the customer? I thought this is really hilarious. You got boneless chicken for 35 cents. It really kind of makes you think, wow, the prices have kind of come down then. But, you know, the way that you can really talk about, I like this sign too. Sweet dreams are made of cheese. Who am I to disagree? I mean, the fun that you can have in your store to bring a little smile to the customer's faces are pretty unlimited. What kind of story can you tell? Even this is a great explanation of educating the customer about the different types of light bulbs that they sell and why you would use a certain light bulb versus the other. Crate & Barrel did a great job with their education of the different types of glassware and barware. Today, this is one of my favorite stores, Trader Joe's, that talks about educating the customers on the 10 different types of apples on a scale from sweet to tart. The customers are hungry for information, and the more that we can educate them, the better. How do you select a watermelon? You know, that's my question all the time. Like, how do you select the cantaloupe and the watermelon? Well, Trader Joe's has done a great job, a very fun graphic explaining how to buy a watermelon. So for us, the ability to educate and talk to the customers is really unlimited in the store. Even on a micro level, I like this. This is from a store a few years ago. It says, it takes a tablespoon of love, a heap of imagination, and a pinch of salt and pepper. These little micro messages to the customer. It really, if you look at the customers, they have there's a smile on their face when they see this. And so they really, really get entertained. This is a great example this year of a retailer storytelling as well. So the opportunities for storytelling are really endless. The emotion is a big part of what we have to do as retailers. That are we really selling a cutting board, or are we really selling a party with a beautiful charcuterie? We have to remember that we can't just sell the products, whether it's through some lifestyle graphics or small table graphics. We have to do suggestive selling to really encourage the customers to want. Are we selling a martini glass, or are we really selling a Christmas party or a summer party with friends? We have to remind the customers, oh, that's what I really want. I want to have that event this summer with my best friends, right? We have to sell the solution. We always have to sell a solution. How do the customers feel? So on a scale of 1 to 10, on the rubber duck scale, how are things going today? There's retailers that actually do a great job of evaluating the customers to say, is the customer kind of sad? Are they kind of happy? And because when they leave your store, they need to have a smile on their face. That's our job as retailers. They've got to feel energized and fun. It's got to be the best day ever. This is our goal as retailers, right? We need to make them have a great day. Our staff is a main part of making that happen, and the ability for us to educate and motivate our staff to sell the passion is a challenge that we all have as retailers. The customer experience, it's all about the experience. This is a retailer that showed up. This is her business card. And I thought it was so good because it's basically like an entertainment movie entry ticket. And as retailers, isn't there a better example of what we need to do? We have to invite our customers in. We have to entertain them. We have to put a smile to their face. Some retailers that have done some outstanding fixtures, the commitment to fixturization and concepts is just tremendous in the retail world today. It gives a lot of hope that, yeah, the store is king, right? If you look at the Instagrammable, so in terms of the events that are Instagrammable are just a tremendous opportunity today. TikTok too, exactly. If you look at the events that are being held at the store, the workshops, it's kind of endless today of the opportunities that we have as retailers to really educate and bring the customers in the store in a big way. This is a great example of the little chef's school for the kids, and they've downsized all the hats and the aprons for the kids. I thought that was a great idea to really engage the families in their store. In terms of events, 91% of customers assure that being part of an in-person retail experience convinces them to purchase. So I read that a couple times because I said, at 91%, I mean, you can't get customers to agree on anything. Well, 91%. 91% of the customers will never agree on anything, but if they agree that the experiences and the events have that much of a profound effect on the store, then that doesn't that mean that we should really put a lot of time? I talk to retailers, and the biggest problem is personnel. I don't have enough people to do these events. But if you've got a 91% success rate, that means that you should all even hire more people for event only. I thought that our friends in Coeur d'Alene, Beth, you know, we read her story about going from 3 or 4 events to 70 events per year, that was a tremendous accomplishment. And that the fact and how that improved your sales tremendously, right, is a test that the events are so important, and for us as retailers, we should really dedicate a whole department or whole investment because that's an automatic return on investment to bring them in. This is an example of the IKEA store even doing a sleepover. They had 20,000 people apply for this, 100 people were selected. They actually slept in the store, the IKEA. Sounds kind of strange, but it was a very, very curated, very fun event where they got the family. They were able to give them certain sleepwear and making a total IKEA experience. And this had a tremendous play on social media. But they do events in a big way. Fill your life with experiences, not things. Have stories to tell, not stuff to show. This is what, as retailers, we need to be. And I saw so many retailers this year really achieve that goal. This is a winner from last year, Dodson's, where she would actually autograph and personalize one of her signature plates and give it to customers in a big way. She was one of the ones that actually would rate the customers when they come in. She educated her staff to rate the customers so that they had to make sure that the customer left in a better frame of mind than when they came in the store. That was her commitment to customer satisfaction. In fact, 85% of the customers agree that they are more likely to recommend the store depending on the customer experience. For one national retailer, 1 point increase in customer experience led to a $149 million increase in revenue. So the customer experience is so important for all of us. Yes, the retail is not dead, it's the mediocre. When we were traveling, actually one of the winners from Spain that won this award showed us, must have been over 5 years ago, his brand new store called the Barcelona Rubber Duck Store, okay? And we were all laughing. I thought it was a fun thing. When we were there last year, it's still in business. You know, I thought it was just a 1 year, like a pop-up event. This store only sells rubber ducks. And they've got rubber ducks of everyone from Elvis to Marilyn Monroe, every single celebrity, and is still in business today. You know why? If you look at the picture of this customer and the smile on her face, I mean, you can't help but go into the store and smile. When we went, after we went from Barcelona last year to Lisbon, Portugal, we saw this store. I said, wow, you know, this store, Mundo Fantástico de Sardinha Portuguesa, they sell cans of sardine. That's all they do. So it's a whole store. It's like a carnival circus. And these cans of sardines are branded with the date, the year, like, say, 1970, the year of birth, year, whatever is important. And you actually we bought like 3 cans of sardines. We don't need sardines. You know, but isn't that retail to really make it fun and interesting? It's the limits. You see that right there, all the years, and it's cans of sardines. Okay, so you look at the retail opportunities out there; it's pretty endless. And for us, this is a personal story for our own company, when COVID hit, obviously all retail was shut down. So we decided to defy odds. And we created a company to see if we could do something about the delivery business and food. Because we know that all of you were getting food delivered, right, during the COVID and so forth. Can we create something that's a little bit more interesting and fun so when it comes to your house, it doesn't look like this, right? So we created this concept called Sushi with Attitude, some fun branding, a fun box, and that was the beginning of our business during COVID. Since that time, we've branched into a full brick-and-mortar store that's a sushi marketplace, but it also has Japanese lifestyle products. And we employed all the concepts from storytelling to educating the customer, making sure that they have a great experience. We have the master classes where we teach them everything from the sake to how to make a sushi roll, the nigiri. And so all of the things that we talked about, we are doing in the store. And it's a fun, very fun store. It's part of the community, and it's a fascinating experience for us to be part of this. Over the past decade, psychologists carried out a great amount of research proving that in terms of happiness and a sense of well-being, spending money on new experiences is much more profitable than buying new things. It just brings more joy, right? That's retail. That's retail for us. A father and his daughter came into the store, and it was a 4-year-old daughter, and he says, oh, my God. He says, I love your store. He says, it's our favorite. And not only that, it's my daughter's favorite store. And we come here every week on Friday. And he says, and I want to let you know that your store is our Friday night date night. And when he told that to us, it was like, oh, my God. It felt like we had succeeded in transcending to create something special, which all of us are that's our goal, and that we created something way beyond the store. And so my challenge to all of you is that is what we need to do. We have to transcend retail to create something way above and beyond the store. Thank you very much. I'd like to see if you have any questions for our expert jury. Yes.
So what you're talking about here is the CX and UX, right? User experience, customer experience. Are you like breaking it down this way? Because we don't know. I didn't hear you all say those terms. CX and UX.
It is. Any feedback on that? The CX, UX?
I think I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just saying, agreeing that.
Yeah, I mean, we do agree that this is a tremendous area of development. It's a great opportunity for the retailers to really, I guess if you're looking at more for the quantification of those metrics, I think that's the next level so that you can really keep track of how you are doing on a CX, UX level. But I think it's much more simple than that in a way for the average retailer to just apply some of these ideas and really develop this fantastic experience for the customer, right? Any other questions? Okay, if you have anything, you're welcome to talk to us for a little bit. But again, on behalf of Wolfgang, Henrik, and myself, thank you very much for coming. Have a great show. Thank you.